Acts 27. We're looking at the winds of life, taking some applications from the journey of the Apostle Paul from Jerusalem to Rome. And last week we left the Apostle Paul floating around in the Mediterranean Sea in the midst of a storm. And we need to do something about that this evening. And we have seen how at the beginning of their journey they came up against contrary winds. And we saw how these winds increased and became hindering winds. And then they encountered deceitful winds. And after making a very foolish decision, they found themselves smack bang in the midst of overpowering winds. And last week we saw how Paul was on board this ship somewhere in the Mediterranean. And we find him floating there in chapter 27, verse 16. And I'd like to read from verse 16 down to verse 25. It says, "And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me." So there you go. It's biblical to say, "I told you so." Paul said it. I told you so. "Well, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." And before we look at God's word, let's come before him in prayer. Father, we thank you for the night. Thank you for the day that we have to be able to come and worship you. We thank you for that fellowship of the brethren and that oneness that we can have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we come and we open your word, we pray that it will be your spirit that teaches and guides us as we apply principles from what we see here in the life of the Apostle Paul. And I pray that we would see you and not a man, that we would hear your word and not the words of any man either. But Lord, your spirit will be at work in us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the next two messages in this little series in Acts chapter 27 I've called a storm survival guide. I said that last Sunday, we're going to look at the storm survival guide, but I didn't realize it's going to take longer than I thought. And so we don't actually get to the survival guide part until next message. But what we will look at this evening is I first of all want to see the human conditions that existed here on this boat during the storm. Human conditions that are very similar to our condition when we go through storms. I want to highlight that. And then after that, I want to see the human solutions that are proposed in order to get through the storm. Human solutions that we will see that are pointless and absolutely hopeless because they are solutions that are without God and God's help. And then after we see that, then we'll see really God's survival guide for storms in how to get through them, and that'll be the next message. But first of all, I want to look at the human conditions that existed on the boat at that time during the storm, and there are five of them that I want to highlight from this passage. The first one we see here is there is fear. We'll look at the verse in a minute, but fear abounded on this boat while they were going through the storm. And something we need to realize that our enemy wants us to fear when we go through storms. He wants us to be overcome with fear in the midst of the trials that we go through. Because he knows that if he can get us to fear rather than to trust, well, then he can make us make many foolish decisions that can bring about our harm and destruction. He doesn't want us to be confident in our God. He wants us to waver in our confidence in him. He doesn't want us to be strong and steadfast and unmovable in the faith. He wants us to be tossed to and fro. He wants us to doubt God's word. He wants us to doubt God's love. He wants us to be scared in the storm, just like these men were. It says there in verse 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand. These men were fearful on that ship. They were fearful of the quicksands that they possibly could run into. The quicksands there is talking about certain areas in those parts that were notorious for shifting sands, where they could just pop up in one area and then disappear again. And so you never knew where these shifting sands were. But if your ship runs aground on it, you're going to be shipwrecked. And sailors, I read, feared this because they never quite knew where they were going to be. And when you're in a ship where you have no control of and it's just being blown where the winds take it, well, then that's a lot more scarier because you just don't know where you're going to end up. They feared the quicksands that lay out there. And, you know, that's very similar to our life. You know, when we can think of our life as having lots of quicksand out there. There are lots of things that can make us sink, or we can be run up against and bring shipwreck into our lives. And many people live in constant fear of falling into them. They may not be in the quicksands, but they know that there are things that they could come up that would cause shipwreck to their life, and they live in constant fear of the possibility of those things. And many Christians have been immobilized by the enemy simply because they sit around worrying about the possibility of running into some sort of quicksand that's out there. What might happen if they actually trust God and do what he wants? I know that God wants me to go this direction, but if I go, this could happen and that could happen and these things could happen. And they're fearful of those things. And so the fear of the possible quicksands out there stop them from ever doing what God wants them to do. Satan loves these type of Christians. He doesn't actually have to send too many storms along, because storms are created in their own minds that stop them from doing what the Lord wants them to do. And so he doesn't have to send too many storms to try and stop them. They're fearful of the quicksands. But brethren, the reality is life is filled with quicksands, particularly for those who choose to go God's way and God's direction. And what Satan will love to do is to hinder us from taking those steps and obeying the Lord out of fear of falling into quicksands. And then when we are in the storms of life, he wants us to be overcome by the fear of the what-ifs and the quicksands that could happen in our life as well. Satan wants us to be controlled by fear in the storm instead of trusting in him. And that's what was happening. I'm not saying they weren't trusting, well, they weren't trusting in the Lord, but they were certainly full of fear in the storm, these sailors. But that wasn't the only human condition, because we see also that they were controlled by their problem. It says there in verse 17, it says, "In fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven." Last time we saw how they were caught by the winds and they couldn't bear up into it, and they simply had to let the ship drive. Basically meaning they had to step back from the helm, no point steering the ship, and they just had to let it go wherever the winds were blowing. Well, it seems as though the winds got even stronger, And the waves got even bigger, and it was even scarier and more intense and fearful and terrifying. And so they were forced to even stake the sails. Now, I didn't even know what that meant. But it simply means you put down the sails. See, they were afraid if they kept the sails up that the wind would just take it and blow the ship over and it would capsize. And so they had to pull down the sails and just let the storms blow them wherever it wanted to blow them. They gave up fighting altogether. And so the storm was completely controlling them. They had no control whatsoever. Not even the sails they could put up to try and send it in a little bit of a direction. They were completely controlled by the storm. And you know, that's very typical of many people today who are absolutely and totally controlled and obsessed by their problems. Their problems or their storms control them. And that's all they can think of. And that's all they can talk about. You know, I've met pastors like that. Regardless of the occasion where you meet them, regardless of what they have to be thankful for, they always have to talk about their problems. Life is hard. I'm going through this terrible thing. It's like there's nothing else in life but their problems. That's a sad place to be in. You know, a lot of people can be like that. You don't have to be a pastor. Instead of the blessings that are around them and seeing the blessings and giving thanks to God for the good things He has given them, all they seem to be able to think about and talk about are their problems. And they are consumed by their problems. You have a conversation with them and all they can talk about are the problems that they're having in life, despite all the other blessings they could be focusing on. And particularly when you're in the middle of a storm and you're being tossed to and fro and you're being hindered in the ways that you want, you may have had to change your plans, you're getting slowed down, you're getting frustrated, it is very easy to just focus on the problems and storms of life and forget about how there is a God that you can trust in and a God that's in control and the many blessings, other blessings that He has given, and just be entirely focused on the problems. Easy to happen, but very sad when it happens. It's a very sad way to live, especially when we're told that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, especially when we've been told that through Jesus Christ, He will always cause us to triumph. Yet so easily we can be obsessed by the storms, and Satan uses our fear to destroy us. And that's another human condition for many that are in storms. They are out of control. They are obsessed and controlled by the storms that they're going through. Sad place to be. Thirdly, we see that they had nothing to guide them. It says in verse 20, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared." Now, I hope you realize what that means for a sailor back in those days without a compass. You know, the only way that they could work out where they're going and where they should go or where they are is by the sun and the stars to guide them. There was nothing else to get their bearings by. And when you're in this little ship in the midst of a very big sea and there's these big black storm clouds continually over you for days on end, you are completely lost and you don't have a clue where you are or where you're going. And that's a scary place to be. They were simply out at sea, totally controlled by that storm, obsessed by their fear and feeling very alone and lost. You know, the blessing that we have as believers is, although many times storm clouds come over and they darken us and we feel as though we can't see the sun, and there is a lot of symbolism there, we can't see the Son of God, and the storms seem to cloud Him, and we feel very alone and we don't know where He is and God feels a long way away, the blessing is, even though we may not be able to see the Son of God, He can always see us. And even though we may not know where we are, He knows where we are, and we can trust Him. And that's the blessing. These men didn't have that, although the Son of God knew exactly where his children were there on that ship. And he was still in control of that ship despite them being lost and alone. But we also see that they were battered by the storm. It says in verse 18, "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest." And then in verse 20 it says, "And no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Do you ever find yourself in those times in the storms of life when everything just seems totally overwhelming? And you've been battered, you've been bruised, and you feel as though you can't take any more. You simply become worn out or burnt out or battered about or whatever it is, and you feel like, I can't take any more. Well, that's how these men felt on this ship. They had been tossed with the tempest, and they felt controlled by it. But not only this, they got to the stage of being tossed around so much that they were without hope. And it's interesting when you recall who the "we" is when it says that. This is Luke saying this. He's a Christian, one of the believers with the Apostle Paul. And he says, in verse 20, "And no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." This is Luke saying this. This isn't the godless seaman. This is Luke saying, "And all hope that we should be saved was taken away." What a scary place to be. All hope's taken away. And I think that's probably one of the saddest places that a Christian could be. When they get to the point in the middle of their storms where they think there is no hope at all. You know, I'm thankful I'm saved. And I'm very thankful that I can't lose my salvation. God's made a promise to me that he must keep. And that's wonderful. But I know I can choose to live like the lost if I want. And I can allow myself to be conquered by fear and be totally controlled by the storms of life and end up losing all hope of living the Christian life the way I know I should be living. I know that if I get so tangled up, I could even think I'm not even saved because there's just no evidence of it. And even though I know that it says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, I also know that I can choose to yield my members as instruments of unrighteousness. And that's how powerful our enemy is. He can bring storms, and if we don't seek God's help and do things the right way, we can get ourselves in a place where we think all hope is lost. That's a very sad place to be. And that's where these men on that ship were. And you know, when you're like this, there are many human solutions to try and get yourself out of these troubles. Everybody has a cure to try and help you when you're in a spiritual condition like this. You know, it's like when you get the cold or a flu, you know. Everyone's got their own little home remedy to help you get better. You know, you talk to five different grandmas and they'll give you five different home remedies to fix your flu. You end up piling yourself up with all different concoctions, probably make yourself sicker. And it's similar to the Christian life. You want to get five different solutions to get yourself out of the storms that you're in. Well, if these people don't know the Word of God, well, you're going to get five different solutions. And sadly, often they are man-made solutions, solutions that are humanly speaking, and they try and help you through these things without having to rely on the Lord. And we see here that on this ship, when they're suffering these human conditions and the fear and swept away by their problems and having no hope and feeling lost and lonely, there were human solutions to try and get you out of there. solutions that we often sadly try before we go to the Lord for His solution. And I want to look at some of these solutions that they had here to try and get them through the storm before we look at God's guide to get through the storms. The first thing I want you to notice is they had a life raft. Let's go back to verse 16. We looked at the conditions. Now we're going to look at how they tried to solve their problem. It says in verse 16, "And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat." Notice it says here, boat, not ship, where it mentions ship every other time. And the reason for that is they are two different Greek words. The word boat here means boat. All right? Yeah, it's funny that, isn't it? And then when you go down a bit further, and the word ship means ship. All right? And so we have a boat and we have a ship. And the word boat simply means just a skiff or a dinghy, and which they drag behind the big vessel. And so we have the ship, and then we have a little boat going behind it. And this was used for emergencies. This was like the life raft. Today, with the big ships, they put the lifeboats on the deck, you know, so you can go over. But a lot of time in those days, they dragged it behind the ship. And I guess you can see that happening in various places as well. And these sailors had a lifeboat dragging behind them. This was their plan B. When they went out into the seas, they had their ship, and then they had their plan B, just in case something went wrong. And you know, that's a very good picture of a lot of Christians today. They won't go out into the seas of life, and they won't go out into those places where God wants them to go unless they have a lifeboat going with them. In fact, unless the lifeboat is there, oftentimes we won't go because we don't want to walk by faith. If God wants us to do something, we often won't budge until He also shows us a plan B, just in case plan A doesn't work out. If there's no plan B, we're not willing to step out on the ledge. Maybe we'll say, "Lord, I'll trust you with my financial difficulties at this stage. As long as I can have a little nest egg over here, just in case you don't come through for me. Or, Lord, I will obey you in this area and I'll step out in faith, but Lord, I've got another little plan over here just in case what you're planning doesn't really work out. I got plan B." And just like Jacob, we're constantly scheming and plotting our ways to get through circumstances instead of trusting the Lord. And we always want a lifeboat behind us. Now, I'm not promoting foolish behavior or saying that we shouldn't be wise and planning out the things that we do. But you know, there will be many times where God brings us to a place in our life where there is no plan B, there are no life rafts, and God says, "I want you to step out in faith and go out on that limb where if I don't come through for you, well, then you're in big trouble." And we're going to have to decide, will I step out in faith and trust Him or not? And although none of us enjoy being there, that's usually the only time as Christians we really get to see how great our God is. And often it's usually the only time we get to grow. You know, we learn about men and women of faith who stepped out in faith and they trusted the Lord, where if the Lord didn't come through for them, they were in big trouble. We love to hear those stories. We love to hear about David and Goliath and how David went out, and David didn't have a plan B. He didn't say, "Look, I'll go up against him and I've got my sling and my stones and I'm going to trust God. And Saul, can you have men hiding behind the trees just in case I miss, and you just send them out to get him? I want a plan B too." Now, if God didn't come through, he was going to have his head chopped off. And you know, we love to hear about stories of people doing that. And we love to tell the stories about people who trusted the Lord. But sadly, for many Christians, they only have the stories of other people that they can tell, because they don't have any stories of their own, because they're not willing to go out and step out in faith and trust the Lord like that. And the reason for that is it's very uncomfortable to live like that. It's not nice walking the tightrope without the safety net. But many times, that's exactly where God wants us. He wants us to be totally dependent on Him and not a lifeboat. Yet many Christians, we won't do that. Very different to what Paul said. And Pastor Matt mentioned this verse this morning where he says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." You know, who will make a way to escape? It's not you. It's not me, but isn't it true? I'm going to go here, but I reckon I will be able to get through it because I've got a little plan B over here. But it's not us who makes the way of escape. That's God's business. And these men's first solution in their trials was the life raft. We better get the lifeboat now because we're in a lot of strife. But it was God's solution that they really needed. And brethren, that's what we need. We need to be trusting in our God, not our lifeboats. But we see their second solution was that they responded with much work. And this joined in with the lifeboat. It says in verse 16, "Running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat." Can you imagine the desperation of these seamen? They were working as hard as they possibly could to rescue the rescue vessel. Now, that's ridiculous. Do you really think that in the midst of this humongous storm, they're going to pile onto this little lifeboat when the ship itself was too scary to be in? But they were with much work to save the rescue vessel. They were pouring all their attention on that little boat in order to help save them. And you know, many people try to work and work hard to get to heaven, don't they? If I work hard enough and I try my best, I will make my way to heaven. And we know the outcome of that. It ends in disaster. And they never come to understand the truth of Ephesians 2, that it is not by works lest any man should boast. But for so many of us, we never learn the same principle also applies to us believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as well. As Colossians says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." How did you receive Him? By grace through faith. And how do you walk in Him? By grace through faith. It's not by working yourself out. It's not by burning yourself out. It is simply by trusting through of the grace, that divine enabling of the Lord, in placing your faith in Him. Too many believers, I think, we think God is pleased with us when He sees all our effort we're doing to get through the storms on our own without needing Him. "Lord, aren't I so good? I don't need you now. I can do it myself. These problems I have in my ministry, Lord, isn't it great how if I just put extra work into it, I get myself through these things. Lord, when I got problems in my home, I can sort them all out if I just work a little bit harder. And I don't even need you, Lord." And we don't go to the one who offers grace. And I have to testify, I'm probably more guilty of this than anybody else in this church. You know, when our church has problems in whatever way, too often I try and solve them by just working a little bit harder. If I preach, maybe just a little bit louder. Or if I visit just a few more times, or if I rebuke more, or I comfort more, if I give more wise advice, maybe we could get through the troubles. And I forget that the true answer is found in our Heavenly Father doing a work in each one of us. And I don't plead before the throne anywhere near as much as I should for you and for me and this church, thinking that maybe if I just work a little bit harder, we'll get through it. Instead, I busy myself with much work, and it's a mistake. It's a mistake when we think our efforts are going to be more profitable than getting before the throne of God and pleading for God to do much work. And that's for our individual life as well as our family and our ministries. We need to be very careful when we're in the midst of storms that we don't think our much work will get us through. It's only the grace of God and His work that gets us through. And sadly, that was another foolish solution that these men tried. But then thirdly, we also see that they resorted to all different types of helps and undergirdings. It says in verse 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands. You know, sailors referred to this undergirding as frapping. I never heard of that either, but let me tell you what one of the commentators say. To frap a ship is to pass four or five turns of a large cable-laid rope round the hull or frame of the ship to support her in a great storm. Otherwise, when it is apprehended, she is not going to be strong enough to resist the violent efforts of the storm. And so basically they put these ropes around it to just fasten it so it doesn't fall apart. So they were that scared in this storm. They think this storm is going to rip it up, our ship apart, so we better wrap it up. So wrap it up with these lines. Now the first time I went on an aeroplane, or maybe the first time or second time, unfortunately I was right next to a window looking out on the wing. And those wings, I don't know if you realize, but they move up and down. And I was sure they were going to fall off. I'm sure that wasn't the way they were meant to go. Like, and if I could get out and frap them, you know, like get some chains and felt like I needed to get there and tighten them up so they stayed really firm and not flap around and fall off. Well, this was like the first century form of that, where instead of having the boat just fall apart, they wrapped it up so it would stay firm. Thinking, if we could just wrap this ship up, we could get through this storm. See how they're still thinking of man-made ways to get through the storm. Very similar to us. God's people are famous for it. When we have problems, rather than running to the God of grace, we'll run to our helps to stop us from breaking up. Oh, mate, I feel like I'm going to fall apart here. And so what do? I need to get away to those hobbies so I can just have some peace. I need to enjoy my sport or the TV or run to some self-help seminar to help me get through this or some secular midday psychologist that can help me with my problems or some books or CDs. And we think that somehow running off to these things will strengthen us enough to get us through. If I just hold tight for a while, I'll get through these problems. Forgetting that we need the grace of God instead. But when we think that God doesn't have the answers for our big problems as well as our small ones, that's when we have become worldly minded. And we need to be very careful because the world is full of frapping. They have all these mechanisms to try and hold you together through the storms, human solutions, because they don't have a God to go to. An all-powerful God who will give grace to help in time of need. And it is the biggest kick in the face for the God of heaven who loves us when we run off to the worldly frapping rather than Him for our help. We need to be careful of that. But, you know, lastly, we see the fourth and the last thing they tried, and that is they tried to throw things overboard. It says in verse 18, "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship." They threw out the cargo. And then it says on verse 19, "And the third day," now they're getting desperate, "we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship." Now you know they're getting to the last resorts. They're throwing everything off the ship in the hope to keep themselves afloat. They first threw out the cargo and then the ship's rigging. Clearly a last resort. You know, they weren't too concerned about steering the ship anymore. They just wanted to stay afloat. So they're willing to throw out anything. Things they held dear to them prior to that now didn't mean anything to them. They were willing to get rid of that too. And you know, I've noticed over the years, it's amazing how people become, when they become desperate, how easily they are able to throw out things that they held so dear prior to that time. How when they are so desperate, they are able to throw out those sinful habits and those bad attitudes and those pet sins and those loose tongues and those cynical attitudes and those bad associations. And they say to the Lord, "Lord, I'll give it up. I'll give up everything, Lord, if you just get me through this storm." And there in the midst of the storm, they start throwing overboard things that they held so dear to them prior to that. Possibly were the very things that got them in the storm in the first place, but now they're willing to let go of it all if God will just help them. The problem is, my friend, it doesn't really matter what you throw overboard at those times. The only thing that really matters is who you have on board. It's not what you throw overboard that matters, it's who you have on board, whether the Lord Jesus Christ is there with you or not. And if you come to the point where you are willing to throw everything over, but you're still not willing to submit to the Lord, you still are heading for destruction. Turning over a new leaf, making a deal with God isn't what He's interested in. Too many people, when they get into strife, feel as though, "I'll do a deal with God and He will just get me through this time." But that's not what He's interested in. You know, in these times, He's looking for repentance, a broken heart, and a submissive will, where we say, "Lord, I've been sinning against You. And Lord, I can't get through this without Your strength. I need Your grace, I need Your comfort, I need Your wisdom. And I will submit to Your will. And I will trust You through this storm." And brethren, when the Lord sees a heart that fears Him, that's when He comes and He's with you in the storm. And that was the case here. There was a ship full of men that feared the storm and tried everything humanly possible to get through it. But there was at least one man on that ship that feared God and served Him. And because of that, the Lord came to him and stood there on that ship in the midst of that storm and gave him words of comfort that enabled him to get through. And that's what the Lord is looking for in us. He's looking for those who will fear Him in the midst of the storm and submit to Him. And that's where we get to see God's survival guide for storms. It's not through human solutions, it's through God's solutions. And we will look at that next time. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that, Lord, we are not tossed to and fro without any hope, but we can have you there as you promised. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Sadly, Lord, we leave you and forsake you. And Lord, we have to go through various storms and troubles until we are brought to that place where we seek you once again. And Lord, if we are in a storm at the moment, I pray that we would cast aside the human solutions. And Lord, seek you, I pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.